From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. TEDx Atlanta is this Friday. Tomorrow on the show, we're going to talk with one of the scheduled TED Talkers, Trish Miller. Learn how she's diving into swim safety and helping families learn how to swim through her nonprofit. Please do join us for that tomorrow. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data find that Georgia leads the nation in the rate of new HIV infections proportionate to the population. The problem is especially severe in Metro Atlanta. So health advocates here really sat up when President Trump vowed to address the problem during his State of the Union speech.
My budget will ask Democrats and Republicans to make the needed commitment to eliminate the HIV epidemic in the United States within 10 years.
In fact, Metro Atlanta is among the areas the White House is targeting for its HIV plan. Dr. Carlos Del Rio works at the School of Public Health at the Emory School of Medicine. He's chair of the Department of Global Health and professor of epidemiology, and also co-director of the Emory Center for AIDS Research, in the studio to tell us more. Welcome, Carlos.
Hey, Virginia, how are you?
Well, I'm well. Thank you so much for being with us, because this is an issue that I think a lot of things, for a lot of people, falls under the radar. So help us get a sense of the problem in Georgia. How many people have HIV or AIDS here?
Well, what you said is exactly right. I think HIV we've forgotten about it, but it's not gone. And I think this new initiative is allowing us to, again, think about the importance of HIV. We in Georgia have a particularly serious problem. In the state of Georgia, there are about 56,000 or so people living with HIV, of which 32,000, almost 33,000 of them are in Metro Atlanta, and a good 16,000 of them are in Fulton County. So you can really see where the epidemic is concentrated. And when you think about new diagnoses in 2017, they were roughly 2,600 in the state of Georgia, of which there were about, of those, about 1,400 were in the city of Atlanta, and about 600 were in Fulton County. So what are the characteristics? Well, the people infected and living with HIV are mostly men. About 80% are men, and about 70% are Black or African American. So you start thinking about, and many of them living in poverty. So you start thinking about this as being an epidemic of disparities. It's affecting racial disparities. It's impacting more the poor than the wealthy. It's affecting people that, lack education, housing, have food insecurity. So again, when we think about HIV, we got to think about social determinants of health. We got to think about all those other things that are leading to HIV. It's not just the virus. It's all the additional factors that really drive the epidemic.
So given that it's a systemic problem, and given that scope, how realistic is President Trump's pledge to end HIV transmission by 2030?
So the good news is that the science is there. In other words, we know two things that are critically important. We know that if people are diagnosed with HIV and are started antiretroviral therapy and they take their medications regularly and their virus gets suppressed, not only do they live healthy lives, nearly normal lives, like somebody who doesn't have HIV, but they also effectively stop transmitting HIV. People who are infected and on therapy and suppressed do not transmit HIV. We know that. So clearly, by treating people, we're also preventing transmission. But we also know that you can give medications. You can give a drug called Truvada, one of the HIV medicines that includes two medications, to people who are at risk and not infected, and that prevents them from acquiring HIV. That's called PrEP. So again, treatment is prevention, and therefore getting people on therapy, if we could find everybody infected, put them on therapy, and suppress their virus, we would stop transmission. The science is there. The challenge is, how do we go from the science to the implementation of the reality? And that's where the leap is. The reality is very different. The reality talks about a lot of challenges. And as I said, it is the social determinants of health that are really, we cannot address ending AIDS without expanding Medicaid, without giving people access to care. We cannot think about ending AIDS without giving people affordable housing, without creating employment, without giving jobs. So really is addressing the whole package, right? And again, that would not only make HIV better. We got to think that here in Georgia, we also have many other health problems. The other day, I was just hearing that you, in this program, and in this station, you were talking about maternal mortality. We have one of the highest maternal mortalities in the country. So addressing social determinants of health would have benefits beyond HIV.
All right. What I wanted to dig into some of the things that you said here. The president's budget today, that's due out today, proposing $291 million in 2020 funding for his initiative to end HIV transmissions. However, critics say the administration's policies toward HIV to date have actually hindered efforts to end the epidemic. What's behind that criticism?
Well, behind that criticism are policies like, you know, the ban on transgender in the military, the continuous, policies that make people who have, who are gay and lesbian and transsexual not feel welcome in this mm-hmm. country. The fact that he has ended many programs that help people that are at risk of HIV. So I think there are many policy decisions, his continuous desire to end the Affordable Care Act. So again, we have a lot of policy decisions that are exactly causing the epidemic to get worse, not better. I think the initiative is very welcome. But again, I would tell you I was disappointed to see the budget. $291 million is good, is nice to have that as a start, but quite frankly, it's a drop in the bucket. I think about how much money we would need to end the epidemic in Metro Atlanta, I'm thinking about $291 million. So as long as that money all comes to Atlanta, we would be fine. But if we're going to spread that across the United States and pretend we're going to end up the HIV epidemic with 291 additional million, it's really incredible.
Yeah, well, I don't think that that's likely to happen. Also, you mentioned PrEP. This is Truvada, HIV prevention pill. The problem is that half the people who need treatment aren't getting it. Now, this is, last figures I saw, $1,700 for a 30-day supply. Is there a plan to cover that cost, or how have people covered it?
Well, you know, in many places it has been covered by insurance. In many places it has been covered by the pharmaceutical company expanded access program and by a patient assistance program. But I think the PrEP has now received a grade A recommendation from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force. And by doing that, then Medicaid has to cover PrEP. And again, if we don't have Medicaid expansion, we are limited in our ability to provide PrEP in the state of Georgia. And we desperately need to increase the amount of people, the number of people who are in PrEP in this state.
Well, more than 94% of U.S. patients on therapy take one of several HIV drugs invented by Emory scientists. So what are some of the challenges associated with translating the science into programs?
Again, there are many challenges in translating. This is called implementation, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of it has to do with how do we take what we know and apply it. We've done actually very well in HIV. And quite frankly, I think I would say we have done much better in HIV overseas than here. At the recent conference in Seattle at CROI, we heard the results of a study called a Pop Art. They went to people's houses. They got them HIV tested. They got them to care. They got them on therapy. And when they did that, they were able to decrease transmission of HIV incidence by 30%. We're not doing that in the United States. So there are a lot of lessons from the global epidemic that if we could apply locally, we would get much more further than we are actually.
Well, the global story last week was that this so-called London patient, the second person to have gone into long-term remission from HIV after a stem cell transplant. Now, this was hailed as a cure, although many health professionals say that is overblown. What do you think, and what kind of promises
there? Well, from a scientific perspective, it's great. But it doesn't have implementation. There's no way to make this something that you can make available. You know, we've cured two people. There are 35 million still to go. Mm-hmm. And there's no way we're going to cure them with bone marrow transplants. So I think about the bone marrow transplant, the London patient or the Berlin patient. I think about it as I think about when John Glenn first went to space. It was a great advance in science and how do we get to space. But we're not all traveling going to space yet, mm-hmm. right?
Right. Okay, so we mentioned some zip codes in Atlanta, really, really high rates of HIV AIDS, 6 to 8 times higher than the national average. Obviously, implementation means education. What are some of the big challenges or ways around that have worked in other places? You mentioned going from house to house, unlikely to happen here. On a broad scale, what might be some ways to chip away at that?
I think the first one is really to end the stigma associated with HIV. And I think that stigma is the enemy of public health. Dr. Redfield, the director of CDC, says that, and I love it. So we have to address stigma. Stigma is a critical component of what is driving the epidemic and what is preventing people from staying in care and getting care. I think we also have to address other important social determinants of health, like racism, like homophobia. I think, you know, again, a lot of those issues are things that we can address and that we have to think about as a nation about how we're going to confront them, because we're not going to end the epidemic if we don't confront those components.
What are you and your colleagues at Emory, some of the things that they're thinking about? Where's the next direction to go for AIDS, preventing AIDS transmission and healing people or bringing them into remission?
Well, I mean, the first is that we cannot do it alone. We have to work with the health departments. We have to work with the state. We have to work with the community. Most importantly, we have to work with people living with HIV and people at risk of HIV. So it's really creating that group of individuals, that task force, that everybody working together, trying to end the epidemic, and then listening. There's a lot of it's not what I want to do, but what the community needs and what the community is looking for. And then we have to make priorities. We are very lucky that in Fulton County, we have already a process in place. There's a task force that was put together at Fulton County that planned for addressing the HIV epidemic in the county. And now there's an advisory committee. So I think we're making a lot of progress in Fulton. We still have a long way to go in DeKalb, in Cobb, and Gwinnett. But again, I'm hopeful that with the appointment of Dr. Kathleen Toomey as the director of the Department of Public Health by the governor, and again, Kathleen is starting today, I'm hopeful that the state can play a bigger role in really being the convener and driving this plan to end HIV.
Dr. Carlos Del Rio from the Emory School of Medicine, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Delighted to be here.
He's also co-director of the Emory Center for AIDS Research. And we would love for you to join the conversation. We've talked about several things today, creating more sustainable highways, looking at the long-term costs versus the short-term costs, creating more walkable cities and towns across Georgia. Again, looking at long-term versus short-term costs. What are your arguments for and against those? You can go to our Facebook group. It's GBB Radio's On Second Thought. And we're on Twitter at OST Talk. You can also email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. And you can go old school and leave us a message. We're at 404-500-9457.